It's time for The Buzz on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue. Home to the country's first cannabis cafe. Now it's time for The Buzz.
All right, all right. Welcome to The Buzz, Radio Land. I'm Sean Tackey with my co-host, Brennan Emmett.
Yo, yo. What up, peeps?
And we're here talking to you on Cleanup Day.
Cleanup Day.
Well, we're not actually here in the studio on Cleanup Day, but you can come and find us if you'd like. We'll be out there cleaning up trash at 506 Merhar Avenue at this exact time.
And we'll be giving away bags.
And we're going to have bags. We're going to be giving away, there's going to be pizza and margaritas that we're going to have for all the people that are contributing and putting effort in. And I think we might have a few t-shirts, limited quantity for whoever's the first to show to help clean up. We'll be able to get gloves, bags, a t-shirt that says Good Titrations to help us clean up Johansson Expressway.
Yeah, that'll be pretty cool. We're going to start around 10 or 11, so we'll be out there.
Yeah, I was planning to definitely have me be out there by 10. I was wanting to get started first, at least have all the bags there, make sure we had gloves, and then have people trickle in between 10 and 11 o'clock.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this right now, come on in. Stop by Good Titrations, get yourself a J, grab some pizza, grab a margarita, and come and help us pick up some trash or just say hi, hang out.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a good time.
It is. It's a great time. It's one way that the community gets together. You can meet other people. I mean, there's usually lots of employees that are from Good Titrations there as well, so you can see more of the people that are going to be there to serve you or help make your concentrates.
Yep, meet your bud tender, meet the lab team, meet the cultivators.
Team. Yep, and cultivation team, and we're going to be out there trying to make our area a more beautiful community for everybody and for our tourists that we have every year as well.
Which I think we got our work cut out for us with all that snow. There's a lot of stuff that got...
Yes, there definitely is. I've seen some things.
Yeah,
it's fortunate, I give my kids little side dollars that are from dad just to like go clean up the area a little bit now and then. And so as it's been melting, they've been able to get a little bit.
You give them a little bit of an incentive.
Yep, got to do it.
Yeah, I got lucky. So far, I haven't had any moose come out of the snow on my property. So.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Have you had that happen before?
No rotten moose. Yeah, yeah.
Where ones died there?
Yeah, so where I live, there's part of my property is a drainage. And so in the summertime, it's a great place to smoke a bowl because I've got all this wildlife there. There's migratory birds and lots of rabbits and stuff like that. But there's also a moose family that's just lived on the property continuously forever. And every once in a while, they'll have some calf mortality or one of the old cows will die or something like that. And then you find out about it in the spring.
Oh, man. So, yep, that doesn't sound like
but
fun.
But, it seems like all of my moose survived this year.
Well, that's good.
There's enough willows to keep them going, even with all the snow. So.
Even with that thick sheet of ice that was hard to break past. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they basically, lived in my yard, in my driveway all winter.
Wow.
They were just
always
there. They were just always there.
Never attacked you because they never got that hungry, apparently.
No, they never got that hungry. And they're used to me, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't even chase my dog. So, but they've been there forever. So
nice. Yeah. Yeah. But so cleanup day, they actually have two different bag types this year. So you have the yellow bag and then now they have a green bag as well.
Recycling.
Yep. That's right. Recycling. So,
what can they recycle, Sean?
What they can recycle is that they can recycle only empty aluminum cans and plastic number one bottles and plastic number two jugs that can go into the green bags.
Okay.
So only aluminum cans and plastic bottles.
So no diapers or anything like that.
There's no diapers, no cardboard.
No cardboard.
Yeah, no cardboard.
Interesting.
Because there's no plastic, no papers.
Gotcha.
So it's only the plastics.
Which that makes sense because all the paper's going to be soaking wet. And
yeah, it's going to be a mess. And it'll be really hard to sort through for the central recycling facility. So if they know the two types that are in there, it'd be really easy to sort the two of them out. Because that does have quite the cost. And you can get bags if you don't choose to pick them up from our place and you want to just go out there and do your own thing. You're able to pick them up at Midnight Sun Council Boy Scouts of America at 1400 Gillum Way, Cowles Heating at 1675 Richardson Highway, the Central Recycling Facility at 1855 Marika Road, which I was planning to visit there to pick up the bags that we would have to distribute. And then Green Star, which is at 1101 Wells Street. It's right across from Tan and Arb Company.
Great.
Right next to ACS's warehouse.
Should we give Tan and Arb Company another ad?
Yep. Might as well toss it out there since it's easy just to make reference to a point.
Yep. Yeah. If you're not shopping at Good Titrations, go check out Tan and Arb. They actually dropped off some weed today at the lab for us to make dabs with. Oh, some pretty good looking stuff.
Sweet, fantastic.
Yep, so we're going to have some more awesome hard concentrates made of Tanana weed.
Excellent.
Yeah, we should have a bunch of our own weed on the shelf here. We've had quite a few good harvests recently. And so we've got our friends over at North Star Fire have some Chandelier Power Fruit. So we got a couple different test batches on that. We got a bunch of stuff that tested over 20, which was really cool.
That's good.
Yep, and that stuff's standard pricing. And then we got some stuff that tested around 17. It looks like the same weed to me, but we've got some really good pricing on it. I think we're doing $9 a gram on some of the stuff from North Star Fire that tested under 20. So go over, get it while it lasts. We got some eighths right now. I think we got some pre-rolls. I think all the grams sold out. You know, $9 grams.
Yeah,
but it's priced at $9 a gram. And we definitely still had some eights on the menu. So and we got a ton of pre-rolls.
Excellent.
So check out the Chandelier Power Fruit. And then we've got our lemon drip that came down. And we got a little bit of a funky test result on lemon drip.
We might want to retest that.
We might. I mean, 9%. Like, you look at the stuff and it's fire. And the other lemon drip comes out anywhere between 13 and 20.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple low tests on that. So it doesn't test that high, but it's great smoke. I mean, people that try it are like, oh, wow, this stuff gets you really stoned.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, so we got that thing that tested at 9. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have that in pre-rolls, and I'm assuming those are going to be discounted. So that'll be coming out in about a week.
And the poison berry, right?
The poison berry.
That one turned out.
That one turned out really good. Yeah, that's like a 22.
Yeah.
I think so.
Somewhere in there. I thought I read 20.02 or something. Maybe. But maybe it's 22.
There was a 2 in there. There's some 2s. There's some 0s.
It's above 20.
But it's above 20. And, you know, I'm not a number chaser. I think it's silly. But the consumer's usually right. And I know, you know, 20 is kind of that gold standard for whether someone thinks something is a really great value for their dollar or not. Unless if it's under 20, it's priced really low. People think that's better. But yeah, that poison berry, and that was a great harvest.
The team
too.
Harvesting it, yeah, they were talking about how amazing it smelled and how excited they are to actually try the flavor of it. So
yeah, it smelled awesome. I mean, myself, from the cultivation standpoint, the stuff is super easy to grow and it yielded a ton.
Nice.
And we got a bunch off of it. And yeah, and it smells amazing. So I'm pretty excited to see that on the shelf. And
yeah, me too. Yeah. I think it'll move.
Yeah, I think so.
But in marijuana news, there's some cool new things that are going on. There's, for just the United States purposes, the Delaware Senate approves the marijuana legalization bill they had. And so it's being sent to the governor.
Really?
So Delaware is on track now for legalization without having to have a voter initiative.
Oh, wow. Okay. You know, when the bureaucrats are just making it happen, you know that things have started to change.
Yeah. The wave's cresting.
The wave. Yeah, exactly. Woohoo. It's a good time to be a surfer.
Right. Also, apparently Thailand is
this is a crazy one.
This is a really good story. This is headline status. Probably should have led with this. Thailand will give away 1 million weed plants.
1 million weed plants.
Yep, to citizens. And basically, they are for medicinal use only. And they're also easing the laws in
medicinal.
Terms for medicinal use. Exactly. Nice air quotes that you didn't quite probably get conveyed. Yeah. I haven't read the entire article yet. I don't know if you knew more about it or not.
I haven't. No, a friend of mine actually sent me that this morning. And it's interesting. We're just saying that they're giving it away for medical use, that the recreational still carries penalties. But regardless of whether people are using it for medicine, because as we all know here on the show, marijuana is great medicine.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Or people are just going to grow it in their backyard and rolled up at a barbecue and get stoned for fun. That's pretty cool. The government's being so proactive with that. It'd be interesting to see what sort of a program they roll out after they, just kind of an experiment, like, okay, we're going to give weed to everybody. I mean, they're going to give away 1 million plants. That's a lot of grows. You know, even only 5% of those people stick with it. That's setting the stage to have a pretty robust industry there.
Well, yeah, I mean, they also, the Thailand government just has these plants to give out. I want to read the details on this a lot, because it's like, did they like go procure some plants, or they've just been growing them anyway? I think that the only reason that they've had such a strict rules, you know, in place, maybe they don't necessarily prosecute people, but I think the reason they do is because they're so closely tied with all the other Asian countries right there. And so it's a very much more stricter mentality.
Yeah, kind of like back in the day when weed was illegal in Canada.
Right.
It wasn't enforced.
No one cares.
No one cares. I mean, you could walk down the street in Vancouver, British Columbia 20 years ago smoking a J, and you would not get stopped by the police. In fact, they sold edibles and in the cafes there and that kind of stuff. But if you looked at their laws, they're very similar to America's.
Yeah, NAFTA.
Exactly, NAFTA, right? So that makes sense that Thailand technically has strict marijuana laws because a lot of their neighbors have incredibly strict marijuana laws that are enforced.
Yeah, so hopefully this is a sign of the times, another part of that wave cresting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a buddy of mine, he lives over in the Philippines, and he's like, yeah, Emmett, you should come visit. You know, come in one of the shoulder seasons, you know, either the spring or come in the fall after summer is passed. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds really cool. You know, I've wanted to go, like, free diving there or something. And he's like, the only thing is, can't smoke weed. Like, can't smoke weed in the Philippines, really? He's like, no, it's like hella illegal.
It's like
they'll cane
they'll
you.
Allow you to get murdered by somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Or you'll get whacked by some
random citizen.
Rando.
It could be a random citizen. They just looked the other way. Wasn't that that's the Filipinos president that was like,
it was
killing drug dealers? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He said that it was like free reign on drug, which is sad. It ended up in just a lot of poor people getting killed by psychopaths. But they certainly put the kibosh on a lot of the drug trade there.
Oh, yeah.
And people know you could it was like the purge.
Right, the purge just for drug dealers.
Especially for weed dealers. You know, if you're some crazy cocaine or heroin kingpin, dealer, you've probably got your own thugs to protect against that. But, yeah, you're just trying to grow some herbs. Not worth it.
No, definitely would not be.
Yeah. But I guess they're having an election over there. And there's a good chance that I forget the name of the candidate, but someone who was ousted in a coup d'etat, that person's grandson is now running for office and is much more progressive there when it comes to drug policy. Was pledging to end this reign of terror.
Do you know what happened with Pacquiao? Wasn't he like getting involved in Congress and possibly moving up into that?
I think he is one of their the congresspersons there.
Yeah, I think
I don't know if they have a parliament or how their government system works. But yeah, he would
represent.
I think he's the equivalent of one of our House representatives on the federal level there.
Yeah, wild.
Be interesting to see what his take on it is, being a contact sports athlete, especially one who's obviously suffered some traumatic brain injury in his career.
Yep.
And I don't think you make it through a boxing career without getting knocked out a couple times.
Yeah. Getting punched in the head every day, 12 rounds of getting beat.
Yeah.
Definitely would like to have some medicine for that.
So we've got
other news. We've got local news, Alaska news, right?
Yep.
The tax.
Yes, the tax task force is moving along nicely. So it made it out of Senate Labor and Commerce yesterday, and it passed unanimously.
Oh, that's a good sign.
It was the shortest hearing on a bill I'd ever participated in. So they had invited testimony. They invited the AMIA to testify. So Lacey gave a fantastic testimony. And then the only other people who testified on it were a handful of the AMIA members or board members. And then all five senators spoke favorably of it. And not just favorably of the bill, but they spoke to the fact that marijuana taxes are just too high.
Oh, wow.
That was pretty cool, and that the hopes that out of this
bill would
change. And so it got unanimous support, and they moved it on to the next committee without debate. So good news for Alaska and potentially some tax relief for Alaskan cannabis businesses.
Awesome. That's super exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But right now is the perfect time for our first our commercial break. We'll see you guys after these messages.
More of the buzz will continue right after this.
Since legalization, Good Titrations has been producing the finest products that you now enjoy legally with products throughout the state of Alaska. Well, now Good Titrations has their own retail store right here in Fairbanks at 506 Merhar Avenue, just off the Johansson, a full cannabis retail shop, including products in flower, edible, and concentrate form, plus accessories and an impressive group of bud tenders that can help match the right product just for you. And coming soon, Fairbanks' first cannabis cafe, courtesy of Good Titrations off Merhar Avenue. Online at goodtitrations.com. License number 10827.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 and older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
This message is brought to you by Good Titration.
License number 20827.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah. Sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays. Brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Now, back to the Buzz on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Good Titrations.
All right, all right. Welcome back to the Buzz. I'm the host, Sean Tackey, with co-host Brandon Emmett.
Yo, yo, Ray Land, what's up?
Welcome back. We are actually probably going to pivot our conversation now and switch back over to the article that we didn't get to finish the last time we brought it up, I think 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. Left you guys with a little bit of a cliffhanger. So I'll go. We'll go back a little bit, do a little bit of a review or an overview for people who didn't hear the show a couple weeks ago. Yep. So this is in the journal Inverse, and the title is Ancient Stoners, Scientists Discover the Ancient Birthplace of Marijuana. The origin story of cannabis is wilder than you think. So that's one of the topics of debate amongst any stoner is where did this weed come from? Whether people are talking about strains like the old Matanuska Tundra bleep or
yeah, right
or
Maui. Just do it, we'll bleep it later.
Yeah, exactly. Maui Wowie or whatever, you know. People always wonder where their strains came from. And then there's been a lot of debate about where marijuana and cannabis came from originally in general. And so it turns out that now stigma has been lifted quite a bit. There's more researchers who are not only willing to research marijuana genetics and cladistics, which cladistics is the study of how species grow, spread, and diversify over time, basically the study of family trees.
And their ability to spread, yeah.
Exactly. So there's more funding, too.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So these researchers, they did
look that up. What's the publication called again, you said?
It's called Inverse.
Inverse.
Okay. Inverse.com. Yep. And they are a journal of science, innovation, entertainment, mind and body, gaming, culture. And they've got something there called long reads, whatever that is. So
folks know how they can look this up.
Yeah, you can go to Inverse.com. They're pretty cool. So these scientists, they said, okay, we want to find out where weed came from. And so they studied the genome of all these different plants. And one thing that's cool about evolutionary biology is that species tend to diversify at a somewhat steady rate, that mutations occur in a genome at a regular and predictable rate. And so
based on different ones though, right? Is it from different types of plants or from specific species?
So
do they have different rates for
So most, yeah, things that are in certain clade have, so
a,
like,
it's very specific rate. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like gotcha. Primates accumulate mutations at a certain rate. Bacterium accumulate mutations at a certain rate. And so if you look at the rate of mutations and you go back to the simpler and simpler forms, you can start
date it
to,
better.
You can date it, and then you can also start to see who's related to whom, and then
also where
exactly, and then where the origin came from, right?
Fantastic, yep.
Yeah, and so these researchers, they discovered that cannabis is indeed originating in Asia. But a lot of people thought that cannabis came from Pakistan or Afghanistan.
The Middle East, yeah.
Exactly. But it turns out that's just one of the first places that it was actually cultivated for
purpose.
Yeah, for use and also documented.
Oh, right? Okay.
Because,
yeah.
You know, humans invented agriculture about 12,000 years ago. Turns out cannabis has been with us pretty much this whole time. Yeah, yeah. It's one of the oldest agricultural goods on the planet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so cannabis originated in northwestern China, and right on the China Kazakhstan border, in the, you know, right by, you know, where the forest and montane region meets the steppe there. So kind of in the middle of nowhere.
I gotcha.
And so, and that's what is called, what the researchers called, basal cannabis. And yeah. So that's like, you know, the original type species. So they have the basal cannabis, and that seemed to spread throughout China. And so it's been found, the basal cannabis has been found in central China all the way over to far northeastern China. And then so they identified another type of cannabis, and this is the hemp type cannabis. And so if you're, you know, a fan of Western history, European history, early American history, you've probably, and you're a stoner, you've probably heard the story about hemp ropes, hemp sails,
yeah,
hemp clothing, that hemp paper.
In the colonies.
Exactly. It was required to be grown in the colonies. And so one of the earliest cultivars of cannabis was a super low THC, very high fiber content cannabis. And that was grown all throughout Europe. So basically, as soon as cannabis crossed the Alps, the Europeans realized, oh, wow, you can use this stuff for
everything. Yeah.
You can make almost anything out of it.
Here's paper, rope.
Exactly. Yeah. It's superior to all these other products. And then the story about Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, places like that being some of the very first to cultivate cannabis. They're the first to really document cannabis for drug use and medicine. And so if you look, and it's pretty cool. If you look at this map, it's basically all along the Himalayas.
Yep.
So the entire range of the Himalayas and into some of the trade route areas in China and northern Southeast Asia. But yeah, we've got, you know, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, all these places being these hot spots for the first drug type cannabis. So it's called drug type feral. So the farmers there were able to take the basal cannabis and identify that it did have these drug properties. And whereas in Western Europe, they were growing it for its fiber-like properties, in these mountains in Asia, they were growing it for the drug properties specifically.
Yep.
It's still considered feral because, you know, agriculture was very primitive that far back, but it was being grown for either medicinal, recreational, or spiritual purposes.
Right.
And so that's why the Hindu Kush mountains are considered the origin of cannabis as we know it in the medical and recreational community, because that's where those first farms were really stationed.
Stationed, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
That's exciting.
Yeah, and then so...
It reminds me of Batman Begins.
Exactly.
You gotta go find a special
climb the
plant.
Mountain. Yeah. Take the special purple flower to the top of the mountain. Yeah. Such a cool... I love to get stoned and watch Batman Begins. I was like, oh man, he's a ninja!
He's so trippy too, yeah.
Like Ra's al Ghul.
Right, yeah.
That guy's scary.
Yeah, that is. He was, man.
Dumped and then like... Super dark
I will
music.
Find you.
Yeah, yeah, great stoner movie.
Yep.
So, well,
Liam
like
Neeson
get,
is.
If you like
great.
To get super paranoid,
yeah, that, exactly.
Oh man,
Scarecrow version.
Yeah. Yep. Right. So there's a fourth type. It's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Ra's al Ghul probably smoked some balls.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't expand the mind.
Yeah, so the fourth type of cannabis, it's another drug type of cannabis, and that is the youngest and the most refined cannabis type, and it's just called drug type.
Just pure drug type.
Just drug pure, type. Yep, just drug type, and it's almost exclusively a cultivar, because one of the different determinants they have for these are, is it a cultivar, is it feral, is it land race?
Mm-hmm.
So land race is, it grows completely wild. Feral right. is like, think a feral cat or dog. It's domesticated, but kind of do their own thing, mm-hmm. you know? And then a cultivar. And so this modern drug type cannabis is a cultivar, and it is found, its origins found in three places. So the Netherlands, no big surprise. So someone
yeah.
took some cannabis from, you know, the Hindu Kush, or took a hemp-like strain. And if you look at this cladistics map, it looks like, yeah, drug. So drug type cannabis breaks off from drug type feral. So someone took some cannabis from the Hindu Kush or other areas of the Himalayas, brought it to the Netherlands, and created the first medical
breeding,
and recreational weed.
Breeding and cultivating it for specific expectations.
Exactly. And then what's also interesting, though, is they found this that happened again in Peru. So
yep.
Peru is one of the origins of drug or medicinable.
In the USA.
Yep. And exactly, save the best for last, the good old USA, Colorado, baby.
That's right.
So, which is interesting that, you know, because everyone thinks of California and Oregon, because it's the easiest to grow there.
Right.
But it turns out that the origin of drug-type cannabis in the United States is actually in Colorado.
Yeah.
So not a big surprise that they were the first to legalize it, because there's probably some powerful people there that
have been doing that for a while.
Been doing that for a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I thought that was really cool. It's a really well-written article. So the literature that comes with it is all like, you know, pop culture level, but the graphs that they associate with it are all pretty fancy. It's stuff like you'd see in a biology book. So I think they kind of bridge that gap between a pop culture article and a scientific journal really well. So pretty much anyone can read and
nice.
Enjoy this. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep. So yeah, go ahead, check out Inverse. They got a whole bunch of cool stuff about weed and cannabis culture in general. And
they have lots of good news, it looks like.
Yeah, I think we're gonna use them for some more stuff
in the future. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully we've been able to be informative. We try to inform and entertain.
Yeah. Doing both.
Yep. And it was pretty cool. I learned a lot from this study. It's pretty cool to see where a weed comes from.
Right.
And it's kind of cool to know that good old US of A is one of the origin stories
yep.
for drug type or medicinal cannabis. So
it is. It's nice. That's
yeah.
awesome. I definitely learned a lot too. So
cool. Well, that's awesome. That's the end of the article.
That's the end of the article. And that's actually puts us to the end of our show.
Great.
So we will all catch you guys next week. But don't forget, you can stop by over at 506 Merhar Avenue, Good Titrations, and help us out with cleanup day. There's still time left. I'm sure there's still trash about along the roads. So help us make our community pretty for all of our visitors that come this summer. And stick around for Dr. Looper after this.
You've been listening to The Buzz on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by Good Titrations. To listen to this episode or any past programs, simply go to the website and search the archives page. The Buzz has been a production of Last Frontier Media Active.